Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We noticed in our last study that the short sword was essential to the work of the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier had two swords, a broadsword, which was 2 to 4 feet long, and he also had the short sword, which was 16 to 18 inches. That short sword was absolutely essential to the work of the Roman soldier. In the same way, the Word of God is absolutely essential to the Christian soldier. There is a word in our text that we need to look at for a moment, and that's the word, Word, in verse 17. It's the Greek word rhema. The word literally means an utterance. In other places in the New Testament, four Greek words are translated word in our English Bibles. Two of those words are used most often. One of those words is the word logos, and the other is the word rhema. Let's examine these words for a moment. First of all, logos. This word refers to something said. It also refers to the thought behind the words. This word is often used to speak about the entirety of the Word of God. The entirety of the Word of God. So the Logos is the totality of the Word of God. The Rhema word refers to an utterance. When it is used of the Word of God, it does not speak of the whole Word of God. It speaks of smaller sections of individual words. When Paul used the word word in verse 17, rhema is the word that he uses. He's not referring to the whole Bible, but to shorter sections of the Bible, the individual words of the Bible, if you will. Just as I mentioned earlier, the Roman soldier had the broadsword, which was a couple feet long, and he had the short sword. For close up front battle, he used the man-to-man battle, he used the short sword. One was the whole, and one was shorter. One was a couple of feet, a huge sword, and the other was a short sword. Let me illustrate this truth. When Jesus was in the wilderness and faced Satan's temptation, you find this account in Matthew 4. Jesus responded to every attack of the devil by quoting the scripture. In Matthew 4, verses 4, 7, and 10. In Matthew 4, 4, Jesus said, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When Paul uses the word word here, it is the word rhema. When Jesus says every word of God, he's not referring to the whole Bible, but to specific individual sections of the Bible. You can see how that is a jab. He just uses a portion of the scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can just see him as using it as a sword, just jabbing with it, jabbing with it. Think of the Bible as a vast armory. In that armory, there's weapons of every size and description. Those weapons are designed for specific types of battle. You may have heard it said, you don't bring a gun to a knife fight. That's the idea here. When times of temptation or satanic attack come against you, it's impossible and impractical to try and throw the whole Bible at the enemy. What you need is the specific Word of God that speaks to individual circumstances. That's why, once again, it is so important to know the Word of God. The whole Word of God is like a broadsword, but little verses, little sections is the short sword. Yeah, I understand, my brothers and sisters. We must choose the precise weapons that we need for every attack, for every encounter. Notice, Matthew, back to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. In response to this attack, Jesus chose Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." You see, the Lord just took a short section, used it. Jesus chooses Deuteronomy 6:16, in verses 5-7. "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah." Matthew 4, verses 8-11, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:13. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name." Jesus was so familiar with the word of God that he was able to select the proper rhema, the proper utterance in each attack. His wise use of the rhema in the Logos is the whole word, the rhema is shorter sections of it. His wise use of the rhema allowed him to achieve victory over the devil. You'll notice that Jesus did not rebuke Satan. He simply used the word of God as his sword. Three times Jesus was attacked, and three times Jesus used the rhema to repel the attack of the devil. Each rhema or verse the Lord quoted not only stopped the devil's thrust, but launched a withering attack that Satan could not endure. When the devil was faced with the truth of the word of God, notice, he abandons. He abandons his attack and he flees. And so it is with you and I, brothers and sisters. If you use the sword of the Spirit, if you would use the rhema word, the utterance in each attack from Satan, he will flee from you. I think the lesson for us is clear. We need to be so familiar with the armory, with the Bible, that we know where all the swords are placed. Then when the enemy attacks us, we're able to repel his attacks with the word of God. This will enable us to stand against the assaults of the enemy. The Bible is a defensive weapon, as we just discussed, but it is also an offensive weapon. It allows us to take the battle to the enemy. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Brothers and sisters, what a weapon. What a weapon has been given to us to use by the Master, that we are able to fight the enemy. The word of God, brothers and sisters, is alive. It's living. It is a thing sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets in there. It gets in there. It turns and twists. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When the word of God is used against the devil, James 4:7 says, he will flee. When the word of God is preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, transforms sinners, lost sinners, and invades their darkness and drags them into the light. It enters the tomb of their dead condition and breathes life into their spirits. The word of God is alive. It's living. For the saints of God, the living word changes sadness into joy, despair into hope, lukewarmness into growth, immaturity into maturity, failure into success. The word of God, brothers and sisters. The problem, though, with many in the church today is they're not familiar with God has said in his word. So when they're attacked by the enemy, they resort to rebuking them or pleading the blood or some other useless tactic. As opposed to if they knew the word of God and the locations of the various weapons and where they're located, they would not be so helpless, nor would they be so often defeated. The only way to know the Bible and learn where the various weapons are located is for the Christian to read the Bible, to meditate upon the Bible, to learn its contents. That means we have to pick it up and pick it up often and open its pages and learn what it has to teach us. Thomas Guthrie said, "The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It's a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible, and our sky has lost its sun." The Bible is the Word of God. It is the source of our faith and the only source we possess for learning about God, learning of Christ, learning of salvation, of sin, of heaven, and of hell. We must learn these truths, or we're helpless against our enemies. The Bible is our source for happiness and peace and spiritual growth and power for living. The Bible is absolutely indispensable for the Christian who desires to be successful in his or her walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. John MacArthur shares the following quote from H.P. Barber. "As I looked out into the garden one day, I saw three things. First, I saw a butterfly. The butterfly was beautiful. And it would alight on a flower, and then it would flutter to another flower, and then to another. And only for a second or two, it would sit and it move on. It would touch as many lovely blossoms as it could, but derived absolutely no benefit from it. Then I watched a little longer out my window, and there came a botanist. And the botanist, he had a big notebook under his arm and a great big magnifying glass. The botanist would lean over a certain flower, he'd look for a long time, then he'd write notes in his notebook. He was there for hours writing notes, closed them, stuck them under his arm, tucked the magnifying glass in his pocket, and he walked away. The third thing I noticed was a bee, just a little bee. But the bee would light on a flower and would sink down deep into the flower and would extract all the nectar and pollen that it could carry. It went in empty every time, he came out full." Then MacArthur adds this commentary: "Some Christians, like that butterfly, fly from Bible study to Bible study, from sermon to sermon, and from commentary to commentary, while gaining little more than a nice feeling and some good ideas. Others, like the botanist, they study Scripture carefully and take copious notes. They gain much information, but little truth. Others, like the bee, they go to the Bible to be taught by God and to grow in knowledge of Him. Also, like the bee, they never go away empty." One old writer has given us the following thoughts about the Bible: "There are words written by kings, by emperors, by princes, by poets, by sages, by philosophers, by fishermen, by statesmen, by men learned in the wisdom of Egypt, educated in the schools of Babylon, and trained at the feet of rabbis in Jerusalem. It was written by men in exile in the desert and shepherds' tents, and green pastures and beside still waters. Among its authors we find a tax gatherer, a herdsman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. We find poor men, rich men, statesmen, preachers, captains, legislators, judges, and exiles. The Bible is a library full of history, genealogy, law, ethics, prophecy, poetry, eloquence, medicine, science, political economy, and the perfect rules for personal and social life. And behind every word is the divine author, God Almighty Himself." What a statement about the Bible. Brothers and sisters, you have that Bible in your hands. I would imagine most of you that are listening. Because if you're listening, if you don't have an actual Bible of paper in your hand, you got an iPhone or an iPad or some computer in your hands, in your reach. We basically, every person has access to the Word of God. And God was pleased to reveal Himself to humanity. And He gave us a book about Himself. And if you have a Bible, you're blessed with the most precious treasure a man can have, a woman can have on this earth. outside of Christ himself, the one who the scripture speaks of. You have this precious treasure. You're to cherish it. You're to read it. You're to learn it. You're to love it. You're to live it. You're to do as the psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Could that be the reason why you have such a struggle with sin? You haven't hid his word in your heart. We're going to make the Bible our daily bread. And if you do, when the enemy comes against you, you'll be ready to stand. And having done all to stand, as we saw in three different places in Ephesians 6. We're to stand. We're to put on the whole armor. And we're to stand. We're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Having done all, stand. Maybe the word of God has cast light in the darkness in your soul, and you know you need to be saved and come to Christ. Maybe the word of God has reminded you that you need to deepen your commitment to its truths. Come to Christ. Maybe you're in a spiritual battle and you need to fight the enemy right now. Come to Christ. Put on the whole armor, brothers and sisters. We must put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We take up the whole armor of God, that we'll be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, put it all on, brothers and sisters. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the boots of peace. Put it all on, brothers and sisters. Take the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation. And take the sword of the Spirit and get in the battle. And press on, brothers and sisters. For this is our calling. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you.